Hi guys, welcome to Tea at Number 5. We are the Lit Wallflowers. I'm Winnie Wu.
And I'm Tony Rose.
Holy shit, everything that we've been waiting for is here, was here, has passed. It's the day after Christmas, Boxing Day. We are going to try to just talk about the overall. We're going to talk about some theories that were correct, some theories that were debunked. We're not going to go into too much details about anything. Give everyone some more time to finish because I'm sure you weren't as obsessive as we were. We watched episodes 1, 2, and 3 together. We originally were like, let's just get through the first two episodes and then the last 6, you're on your own kind of thing. And we were sitting there and we were like, nope. The way that episode 2 ended, there was no way that we were going to not do episode 3. So we went into episode 3 and I was like, okay, you could tell episode 4 has so much angst and it is also 3 in the morning for us. So we were like, okay, let's just, I think I could have kept going. Could you have kept going?
I could have.
Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If we didn't have shit to do the next day, you know, because it's like we're Christmas, weird. I would have like tried to keep going too, but the next morning I woke up. We had so much shit to do in the morning. It was like a 2-hour nap, 3-hour nap. Woke up and we were like rushing because Kermit had to go get his boys, and there was still like choke presents that we needed to wrap. And then I was like, where did these presents come from? We literally had Tony here rapping for us. Where did he's like, I forgot. They were in my closet. So I stayed there and rapped and watched episode 1, 2, and 3 again. Uh-huh. And then I got to my best friend's house, spent Christmas with her. And then at 9 p.m. we started and didn't go to bed till 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I started again from one. So, and then today, just because I'm so obsessive, I rewatched episode 2 again because it's my favorite.
That one started off very well. I loved it. I loved how it started off.
Oh my God, Lady Danbury is a fucking queen. I'm sorry.
She's great.
She's a boss ass bitch. Oh my God, when she commented on our picture, I died. I like died inside. I was like, no, you were fabulous. I love you. So Tony and I, when all of the first looks came out, there was a picture of Penelope on a couch and they were eating. And I was like, and I like cheekily said in a story, I was like, me and Tony, Christmas Day watching Bridgerton. And then Julia Quinn reposted it. And then I was like, hey, Tony, what if we really do that, right? And so Tony made us our dresses. I contributed by buying fake bangs.
Well, you did buy me the pattern, and then I realized this is more complicated than I thought, or I just needed more time, which we did not have.
It crept up on us because we were like, when is it coming? It needs to come here already. It needs to come here already. And we're like, holy shit, it's here.
Yeah. So last minute. Honestly, I just did the skirts, and then that was it. We put it over certain dresses and tops and stuff.
Yeah.
But at least we got the colors right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she did such
colors.
She did such a great job, and it was so much fun. And, yeah, our baby daddy, Reggae, liked the picture. I was like, okay, I can die now. I'm happy. We can move on with
life. The Duke noticed us.
The Duke noticed us. And as well as his guardian, Lady Danbury. Okay, so overall, as a person who prefers the show adaptations to be closer to the books, how do you feel overall about it?
I loved it. Honestly, to me, the best way I could put it into words is I love the books. I love the show because it's an extension of the books. It's like whenever we say, I wish the story was longer. That's what, to me, that's how the film was. Mm-hmm. Like, we get more of the interactions with, like, the siblings and things that are, like in between the lines when you're reading the books. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely loved it. I loved the changes. I loved how it ended.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, I'm not a showrunner. I'm not a director. I'm not nothing. I am a book lover. Like, I love the Bridgertons, but I believe in the changes that they did. If they wanted drama, that's what it did. But it still had like that wit, that humor that we get, that tone that we get from the books too. So I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and first, me and you, we watched it with Kermit. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I've talked to him about in like full like extent is the drama over the casting, and then as well as the scene. And that's all that he kind of knew it. And he was there with us. He was so into it.
He was into it. He was asking questions.
He was asking questions. He was like, wait, hold on, wait. And then I watched it again with my best friend and her mom. And also, I never really kind of described much of anything. And they were so sucked into it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's just so amazing. And, you know, Chris Van Dusen was like, we want you to feel how you feel when you read the book. And you know what? That's how you feel, because the conflict does not get resolved until 98.3% of the book has passed. And it ends with you wanting more. And because you know this is part of a series, and this is why I don't read books from a series until it's done, because of that. You're like, fuck, now guys, we have to wait 2, maybe 3 years. If they cannot film anytime soon, we're gonna have to wait a long time to get another season.
I am fine with that, as long as we get it.
Oh yeah.
In the meantime, everyone, like, please tell your friends, your family, strangers, like, watch the show.
It's so like top 10 trending everywhere.
You can make sure that, just to make sure.
Yeah.
It's great. Like I just saw this tweet recently, because then there was that Twitter live thing going on. Yeah. And then at the beginning of it, maybe like 23 minutes in, and I didn't see this from Chris Van Dusen. He's like, I guess he was talking about the park, and he's like, look in the back. There's the Easter egg, like, all the way in the back. And I'm like,
yeah.
And people are like, Kate. And I'm like, okay, now I got to go look for a dog in the background. I don't know if it's Kate, but for sure. I haven't been able to like rewatch it yet, but I'm going to do it.
So watching it the second and third time, I picked up a lot more. Mm-hmm. So much more. Because when we were watching it, some of the parts we were like just gasping and screaming and squealing. Yeah. So I'm sure we missed things. Plus it was like on like this big ass surrounds. It was just a lot. So the second time around, and even though I wasn't watching everything fully, I heard different things and I was like, wait, hold on. So we'll dive a lot more deeper when we can get our lives together, and probably maybe after the new year, we will release a video of the top 10 Easter eggs of this series on YouTube. And we will break down each episode from what we see coming up in the future weeks. But we just wanted to get on here, talk about some theories that we discussed, whether they were debunked or whether they were proven. We definitely need to get on another episode with plot twists, because there was a lot of things that we discussed and I want to talk to them about it again. Yeah. They're only on episode 1 though, so we got some time. And I was like, okay, let's plan for something in like mid-January. And today with the live tweet, it was number 1 in trending. And it had over 60, almost 70,000 tweets with the hashtag Bridgerton.
That's great.
In 2 hours.
That's amazing.
Just 2 hours. And like,
they did a great job with like liking and like retweeting too. And I'm like, ours is going to get like lost in everything and everyone else's. But they like some of ours, like from both accounts, right?
Yeah. They were
very so good.
And this is a Shondaland tradition, so I loved it so much. And Nicola was on it, Chris Van Dusen was on it. At one point, Luke Newton came on it, and Lady Danbury was on it. Like, Queen Charlotte was on it. It was just great. It was just so cool to, like, be able to interact with them. The Binging Bridgerton girls went live an hour earlier so that everyone could be a part of this, and it was super cool. So they are a little bit more forward and they are on It's In His Kiss. So we're definitely going to have to go back, listen to names, listen to locations, listen very carefully, look in the background. I think I already noticed something, but we're not going to discuss it until it gets to that point. But Marina. So we were wrong and we were right.
It was so good, though.
It was so good. So we don't want to spoil what we were wrong and what we were right about, but what we thought wasn't going to happen, happened. And then what we thought would have potentially could happen, it changes the timeline, but it did happen.
Yeah.
So I freaked out a little bit. Something that us and the Plot Twist girls. So we released an episode on our Lit Wallflowers podcast full of spoilers. And we kind of go on to like a book tangent towards the end of the episode. It's a bonus episode with Plot Twist. How we think certain things are going to handled. 4, 5, 6 is roughly around the same timeline. How they're going to handle that. Will there be a season 7, 8? Will certain storylines get dragged out? All of that stuff. So we discussed that with Plot Twist. So if you want to check that out, it's full of spoilers though. So we did not post it on this one. We posted it on Lit Wallflowers. And yeah, so we definitely need to revisit with them because some of the things that we discussed has already been proven wrong, which we say 100 times in the episode. We're like, we're going to be totally wrong.
Yeah. Which is actually pretty fun.
It's super funny
to see
that. It's super funny. And that's what this is all about, right? Because that's what, as fans, there's what we want to see, what we think we're going to see. And we get a 1 second clip and we're like, this is happening.
Yeah.
You know? So one of the first things that we had discussed very thoroughly is the Henry Granville situation. Mm-hmm. So it was, once again, proven that it was Henry Granville. I think he plays such an interesting part in the story already for building Benedict's backstory. But guys, some of you guys were standing the fact that Benedict could possibly be bisexual and it might have been Benedict's back. We hate to disappoint you, but that was not the case.
Yeah.
But we did get the Henry Granville part right. We did not get who he was hooking up with right, though.
Yeah, Lord Weatherby. I did a little research. I'm like, where's Lord Weatherby in this situation? So he was mentioned in Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, but he's a part of another author series. Mm-hmm. It's Stephanie Lawrence series from her Sinister series, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know. It's nice that they actually use certain names that are familiar to us.
Yeah.
That's what I like. They didn't have to dive into it. It's just, I like knowing that we can find this name somewhere.
Yeah. And we can, I mean, there's going to be a crossover on names eventually, right? Because there's only so many. So
that was a funny scene, though. I love that.
Yeah. When
the wife, yeah. Granville's wife, he's and like, Benedict.
What? It's like, what the heck? So we don't want to do too many spoilers because according to Binging Bridgerton, a lot of people haven't even watched past episode 2 yet. So we were right that it was Henry Granville in that man-on-man scene, but we were wrong that it was not Prince Frederick. Uh-huh. And we were also wrong of that Prince Frederick is not her son. It's actually a nephew. A lot of things that you guys will kind of discover as you're going through. So that's the first thing that was like proven and wrong at the same time.
Yeah.
Marina, proven and wrong at the same time. And the one thing that I kind of panicked about, like I kind of like freaked out about is that we mentioned what kind of cliffhanger do you think is going to end it with? And I mentioned that it's going to be Benedict, Colin, and Anthony sitting at their club, and he's like, it's time I marry. And he, dead ass, within the last 5 minutes of the show, kind of makes some sort of declaration like that, and I was like, oh my god, I knew it! I knew it! Oh my god! And then, like, my best friend's mom was like, what? I was like, his book is next! And she's like, ooh!
I thought about it. I'm like, it would have. I liked your idea, or they would have been in whites. But at the same time, I'm like, no, it had to be that way because I guess you wanted to end with family, with Bridgerton.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if they did it in their sitting room and then like with the whole family, but the whole falling over after making that declaration too? So like a mesh of the scene that you thought and then them leaving. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that. Hopefully that scene will still happen because he only really says that to Simon and Daphne. But yeah, I was just like, oh my god, I like was kidding. But they said it. He said it. And then we also predicted Lady Danbury's role, that she was basically going to take over Nurse Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And she did do that, sort of. It looked like Nurse Hopkins was there until about age 4 or 5-ish. And then Lady Danbury was like, so you're not dead.
Yeah.
She's like, did you not learn manners, guy?
Oh, but the dad was ridiculous.
The dad? Like, they made him
exact. I think they made him exactly who I thought he was just from reading the books. Like, horrible.
But worse.
Yeah.
But worse. And, like, in the book.
And he swore at Lady Danbury. I'm like, you don't do that to her.
Yeah.
But it made it so good.
Bitch mouth.
It's so good.
So we'll dive more into episode two when we get there. But a lot of people have a problem with Simon's character because they don't understand him. They don't understand why he's holding out. They don't understand why he's made this vow and all that stuff. So the fact that they made the dad even more cruel and just awful, like, to where this woman is in so much pain and she's just like, tell him what it is, you know, like, tell him, because she wanted to fulfill her duty as a duchess. Like, that pain, I was just like, I can't imagine that. That's the pressure that you have, that, like, you're in labor and you're still trying to satisfy this man that you don't have love with, you know? The way that they made that was so painful. And then the way that they placed the flashbacks and how they did all that, it was so good.
It was perfect.
It was amazing. And the way that episode two ended, we freaked the fuck out. We were like, what the fuck? We were like, oh my God. Because it's like grazed over twice in the book about this vow, but you get to live this vow with him and how potent it was and how much hurt and anger was there. Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
And it was like menacing. I don't know. That's the one word I can think of when I think about that scene. But that last scene encapsulates like how utterly hurt Simon is and affected everything.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Because what the dad was saying was like just so strong. And the only thing that could get through him too is the strong words of Lady Danbury too. So that's how I thought about it. But it took years.
Oh my God.
It took time.
And, you know, I like that they didn't do the whole, like, showing the dad all of a sudden liking his son. And then that whole, like, they flipped the whole letters thing around a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of like that because a lot of people were like, why? What's up with these letters that were never even really read and they were never really a big thing? And I liked that they never showed the Duke and Simon running into each other and that's what caused Simon to left. They just left it for us to know that, and that on his deathbed he's like, my son, you're finally here to take your place, and I'm like, you are my pride, or, you know, whatever he said. Mm-hmm. And it was just like what a fucking asshole. Like, all he cares about is that, like,
all he cares about is having an heir, and they bring it up at the end, an heir over basically family.
Yeah.
Or a son. But they played it out so well. Because you hate him. You hate the dad. And that's like, I applaud them because it was so good. So much worse than I imagined.
Like, every prologue in this series is pretty gut-wrenching. Period. Maybe not book four. But like, every one of them is kind of like, like, knife in the heart a little bit. But this one, they made sure it was a through and through. They made sure it was a sword. It wasn't like a small dagger to your heart. It was like a sword.
A rusty sword.
Yeah, it was. And then it yanked out your heart and your entire lungs came out too. It was just like they made him worse.
Which is good.
Which was amazing.
So good.
So, so amazing. I love that they give Eloise and Benedict so much more time and so much like more character development. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, like, especially with an extension of the book into film. I like those kind of interactions that happen between the siblings. It's like you're getting more from what the book gave you. But yeah, I like seeing Benedict and Louise interacting together and keeping secrets too.
I mean, that's how big families work, right? You just mesh better with one sibling. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it is. And then I love, not love, but so I explained this to Kermit and I explained this to my best friend's family and everything. And I was just kind of like, I felt that Shauna Land, Chris Van Dusen, everybody that was involved in this project looked into every review, everything that anyone had a problem with reading these books today when it was written, you know, over 20 years ago, essentially. And they adjusted a lot of that. And one of the biggest things was Nigel Burbrook. And, you know, people didn't like that he essentially was trying to sexually assault Daphne. And they turned it into this whole funny tone. And then he ends up with a happily ever after. He ends up a Featherington, right? So now already, I mean, who knows if he's going to come back. But it looks like that specific Featherington is now with someone else, you know?
Yes.
And
so when Mr. Finch came into the picture, that kind of solidified for me, like what you said. Mm-hmm. They read all of the problems that people were putting out there. Because when he came in, I'm like, oh, he's the right guy for Philippa.
Yeah.
That happy, kind of goofy guy that we get from, yes, in the book. That's what she got in Mr.
The other side of Burbrook.
Yes.
Yes.
The part that we laugh about, mm-hmm. that side. So I'm like, oh, perfect. Because then... I just loved her reaction. She's like, just two of them together. It's great. I'm so happy for her.
Yeah, she's so good. And we enjoy that. I mean, who knows if it's the last time we hear about Burbrook, because Burbrook does play a part in the next one too. But if they make him creepy again, I'm here for it. You know, if he gets beat up again, I'm also here for it. It's very, very interesting. And what I thought was, like, really funny is, you know, when we were doing Binging Bridgerton and listening to other feedback about An Offer from a Gentleman, a lot of people don't really care for Benedict. And I thought it was so funny when, and this is why I said I feel like they listened to every podcast, read every single one when they were writing the script, because when Benedict and Eloise were sitting outside and he's like, are you spying on me? And she was like, you'd have to be interesting for me to have to do that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's what everyone said, right? Benedict and Gregory are the least interesting Bridgertons. So, like,
I mean, because we don't really hear about them until, yeah, like, their own book.
Well, even, no, just, like, in general, even in their own book, they just are not, you know.
They're boring?
They're boring, and there's, like, no depth. And then I was like, you know, some people are like, oh, wow, I'm from a really, like, good family, and I can't find my place. Like, wow, you know? So, like, the fact that that as a line, they have Eloise, like, you'd have to actually be interesting for me to want to spy on you. I was like, oh, my God. I just really feel like they're kind of, like, throwing some words back into people's faces, and then at the same time, like
I hear you.
No, we get it, and this is, we're trying to change it, you know. But I was like, oh my god, we need to talk to plot twist. And I wonder if they'll catch it, because she says it, like, super fast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of funny.
She does say it really fast, but I don't think anyone can not catch it.
Yeah.
She's super loud.
Yeah. She's like, you'd have to be interesting for me to want to spy on you.
Eloise is amazing.
She's great. You must make haste. She's like, do you think she heard me?
I love what they did with her and a very high in society person in the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. I'm like, I guess it had to be her.
And if anybody is clever enough to get into those good graces, it would be her.
Yeah.
You know? And some people with Eloise's book, generally across the board, people do really love Eloise's book, but they also were like, why the hell does she want to be a spinster for so long? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're exploring that already. They're exploring that, like, she's like, is my two options, like, spinsterhood or I have to get married? Like, what if I want to fly, you know?
Yeah. And her being observant, so, and her observant, like, always writing.
She wants to go to university. Mm-hmm. And then how she's telling Benedict, like, you can be anything because you're a man. And she's like, I can't. There's so many things I cannot do because I am a woman. And I was just like, that's so true.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing too. That's why they were like, a lot of people were kind of like, wah, Gregory and Benedict, because this is kind of like they are in such a good position in a great family with so much money. They could literally do anything, and they're choosing to sulk about what number in line they are, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's not my opinion, but it is other people's opinion. So I found it very interesting that they are already addressing that and changing it. And then it's just kind of another thing was, you know, Colin has his travels, and then and then the things that he gets into later on, Anthony is conflicted. He has to be the
super conflicted in this film.
Yes. Huh? So he's like conflicted, but at the end of the day, he's the heir, right? And then that leaves Benedict and Gregory. And Benedict, they were like, it just really, I'm in the art gallery now. You know, like, they're like, whoa. So I love that they're already addressing that. And I love that they're already building that for him.
Yeah.
You know? So, as you just mentioned with Anthony, I think people still hate him. I love it.
I loved it, too.
I loved it. They leaned into the whole overprotective brother thing. They leaned super into it. And that was the thing. Simon was like, this is why she's still single. Look at you guys. You know, like, you. And he's like, Anthony's like, is this true? And Daphne's like, yeah, you know, yeah. So, like, the fact that they did that so blatantly, and the song that was playing in the background was Thank You Next. Uh-huh. When, like, when she was like, what about him? Oh, he's good looking on the eyes, and he's like, he has dubious parentage, you know. And, oh, you want a poet, like, you know. And then, so it was so good. It was, and the fact that the song in the background is Thank You Next is just so perfect. It was just so perfect and just so thought out. And I had to kind of explain the whole, like, hierarchy of a family of when the older son inherits the title. He's essentially the man of the house. So, essentially, he could send his mother away. He can do whatever he wants with his mother because he is now the man of the house, you know?
It's sort of like that change that they did in it.
Yeah.
Because then it portrays how conflicted he is throughout the whole thing. Is he a brother? Is he the head of the house, you know? And he's like going back to Siena, like, I have these problems and these. I'm trying to get away. Like, I just need an escape. So I loved it.
I think.
And then the power, the mom and him, their conflict was amazing.
Yeah. And it shows that even though he is the head of this household, she is the one.
Yeah. Mama knows best.
Mama knows best. And she knew what's up. She knew what to do. So I also really liked that Whistledown wasn't consistently like, Anthony's rake, Simon's rake, 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 rake. They were showing us drinking, being around women all the time, going, like, they were, I thought that was just the opera singer, but it's just a random,
like, you came know, to the brothel.
Yeah, he was at a brothel, and, like, and then even Anthony was like, wherever you came from the backwater gambling hell that you came from. So, like, there's just, without Lady Whistledown being like, they're the biggest rake, and the biggest rake is Anthony, and then the best, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I love that they're showing us.
Yeah,
you know?
It was show, not tell.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that, like, Simon's favorite pastime is to go get the living bejesus beat out of him at a boxing ring. Like, yeah. I don't know. It just reminded me of Temple. And I was just like, oh my. So I don't know if, like, this was done purposely or if they did more research. So that whole thing with the boxing ring reminded me of Temple. And then later there's this other scene with Lady Danbury, and that reminded me as well. As,
oh, yes. Right? Yeah, right? I loved it. And then juxtaposition, I can spell it, between, like, what's happening on the lady side at Lady Danbury's and what's happening at, I guess, White's.
And it's just so, like quiet and calm. Yeah. So I love that. But for some reason, I just, like, just totally thought of that.
No. I'm, like, thinking about that, like, that double-sided
mirror.
The
Fallen Angel, yes. Yes. That's what I was thinking about. I was, like, Temple and the Fallen Angel, which I was, like, oh, I wonder if they did that research. I wonder if they read into that, because Chris Van Dusen says he loves period dramas, right? So I'm, like, I wonder if he's read that and he took from that. And, you know, oh, God, I freaking love it so much. So
That was great.
It was so good.
And I love, it wasn't just one scene. It was a few scenes going back and forth.
Yeah.
So, oh, ladies do it the best. They have so much fun.
They look like they had a good old fucking time.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So, and Daphne afterwards, like, kind of, like, strolling and drunk, like, you know, like.
And I love that the enabler is Lady Danbury.
Obviously.
Love that so much.
Obviously.
I'm like, if it's okay with her, then we can do whatever we want, right?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Because she's the queen of pretty much a ton.
And I think what I loved as well, too, is because Lady Whistledown kind of gave that narration for it, but how it basically showed that husbands and wives did lead such different lives, just completely different lives. And a lot of these things were marriages of convenience. And I love that they're starting to show that already, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were kind of like, we don't like that book one scandal marriage, book two scandal marriage, book three scandalish marriage, you know? Book four, sort of a declaration of love, friendship. Book five, scandal marriage, you know? Book six, kind of like a friends thingy. And then book seven, you know? So, like, I love that they're showing that this is how the society worked back then. That, hey, sometimes you do get caught in a compromising situation. Sometimes you purposely choose a man.
You marry the name.
You marry the name. You marry the property. You marry the freedom that this will offer you.
Yes.
And it showed such the big difference that Daphne was specifically looking for love, which a lot of people during those times were not looking for that. Look at Cressida.
Can I say she's just the perfect face
for her character. Good.
She's so good at being a bitch. Oh, so good. Oh,
my goodness. Her scowl... my God.
Yeah. But then when she's out of character and she's smiling, she looks so nice.
Yeah. By her smile, even though it's a vindictive smile, though.
So good.
It's such a vindictive, like, planning smile, you know?
Oh, and the thing she does with her eyes, like, she looks so, like, evil.
I know.
She's so good.
I know. Love to hate her. Regency era Regina George, for sure. For sure. Guys, we haven't heard the last of her.
That's good.
And I love even more how much bigger of a role she's playing right now.
Yeah.
And her mother.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's different, too. Like, I didn't see much of a friendship between Featherington and Bridgerton. Because in the books, I thought they were a little bit more friendly.
No. Not in the first one. Not remember, like, she was, like, laughing that
oh, the purple?
Yeah, because... I don't think they get closer till later. And then we also have to remember that at this point, the Featherington family was kind of like just there because they were not going to be playing this significant role until later.
Kind of makes sense. They gave them a title this time too.
So they gave them a title. I think because going into book two, there was not going to be a four or a five or a six or a seven or an eight, right?
Yeah.
So that eliminates Felicity and Hyacinth, that eliminates Pollen, that eliminates a lot of stuff. So in book one, it's
that
just
makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. And then even in book two, because everybody's invited to everything, even though they're not like the bestest of friends or whatever, right? Even in book two, when the bee stings, right? Yeah. He's like, great, like the world's biggest gossip person is here. And, you know, so, and even in book one, Lady Featherington wasn't painted in this like great character too, because she was the one that went up to Simon and was like, you look just like the Duke, you know? So a lot of people do not like the shift of their tone in the story, but I love it.
I love it. It's not like everything's like rainbows and unicorns all the time. You get the drama in the film, and I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a book, right? And like in every episode, it goes roller coaster like that. It's like conflict, really smoothing out, great, and then it's just like conflict and then result, right? Like that,
like
was
the ebbs and flows, right?
Yeah, it was just so good. And oh God, I just loved it so much. So I mean, we could gush about this all day, all night. We hope by the time that episode one recap for us, that will be full of spoilers, full of Easter eggs, things that we're going to talk about, because by next Sunday, even on the way to the wedding is going to be read by the Binging Bridgerton girls. So we're going to try to talk about it. And the biggest spoiler of them all was revealed.
Yeah.
So we don't really need to hold back. The only thing that we want to hold back at this point is if anybody hasn't seen it yet. Yeah. So
it makes sense to me, though,
why they did it. Oh, my God. Right? When I saw that, I was like, oh, my God. Like, they handled it so well. That's all we're going to say. Yeah. I know that not everyone has watched it. And then, you know, today I'm Binging Bridgerton. When they were talking about it, I was like kind of like shocked, because like a lot of people were like only on episode three. I was like, oh my God, you can't even say anything like when it comes to just episode three, because so much happens after that. We will say, if you're listening to this and you're wondering if that very specific scene is in the show, it is. It is handled slightly differently, but it is in the show. And if you want to skip that part, we will say that it is in episode 6. So we'll just leave that there. And we understand that it is a huge content trigger warning. So leading up to that point, I think you can watch it just to get the context of everything and then skipping the rest of the episode and moving into episode 7. So just as a content trigger warning, just so that you are aware of that. We'll talk more about that when we get to that episode, but it is towards the latter half of episode 6, so that everyone is aware.
Yeah.
Just in case you're waiting to hear and see before watching, we do want to be the ones to let you know. But overall, fantastic. The sets, the costume, the ball scenes, the dance scenes, the music, it's just so well placed. And then we hear Bad Guy the same time when Simon's about to out Burbrook to Anthony. We hear In My Blood when he's like, call me Simon. We hear Wildest Dreams when they're literally fucking all over the place. And I'm like, that is my wildest dream. My goodness. So like, just like their music placement is just so amazing. And then Gaius today during the live tweet, Chris Van Dusen said that he mentioned that Beyonce song lyrics were purposely put into the dialogue. Nice. So I was like, okay, she's not on the soundtrack. We were wrong, but at least we caught on to that. Like we picked up the eggs, but it wasn't the type of dish we thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be Eggs Benedict and they gave us scrambled, you know? So, but he did say that there was purposely placed Beyonce lyrics into the script.
They can purposely place her in the cast too next season.
Who knows?
Hopefully.
Who knows? They're so tight-lipped.
Yeah.
So which freaking is fine. Tight-lipped, which is totally fine.
I'm looking forward to us being wrong again in the next season. Because the change was so good.
I love the speculating part. I love finding out we were wrong slash right slash wrong slash right. It was like weird because I was like, oh, this is what we predicted. Oh, no, this is not what we predicted. Yeah. But we kind of predicted it. It was just weird. It was just,
I'm like, oh, that's better.
Yeah. So it was so much fun. Thanks, guys, for hanging in there this whole time dealing with all of our theories, all of the things that we're thinking about. Thank you for all the emails. Martine, you were right. The whole Colin thing, I will give it to you. I was like, no, I stick by our theory. You were wrong. So, but thank you guys for sending us articles for us to read and catch up on. And then now that the series is out, there's just so much stuff everywhere. So we're just going to try to focus on the show.
Yes.
And then afterwards, after we've gone through the 8 episodes and then we revisit everything. So probably sometime in March, hopefully that's when the rumored scheduling time of things will be filmed. We'll go back into the gossip and we'll go back into the theories. Hopefully we'll hear some more casting situations by then. But until March, we will be talking each episode at a time. And then we'll go back to speculations, I guess. Yeah. I mean, when we talk
theories,
about
they're fun though.
They are, and I love it. And you know,
it's like fan fiction, right? We're kind of just making shit up. Another story.
But
some people enjoy it. Some people are like shocked.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's fun at the end of the day.
Guys, it's trending top 10 all over the world. Like,
yay!
I know. This is a historical romance that's doing this, guys. Like, I don't care what anyone says. This is so amazing.
Yeah.
And people that are in my life, today I literally got a text and was like, hey, Wendy, I saw this thing on my Netflix queue and I watched the first episode and it made me think of you. And I was like, oh, what is it? And they're like, well, I know that you like to read these kind of books. And I was like, this bitch is about to say Bridgerton, right? And then she was like, it's based off of a series. You probably read it. And then I was like, is it Bridgerton? She's like, yeah. Did you watch it? I was like, girl, I already watched the whole season. Because I don't really watch TV. Yeah. So like, I got multiple texts today. And then even my work's vice president's sister like sent us both a message and was like, hey, I saw this on Netflix and think you guys might like it. it's called Bridgerton, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh yeah, I already saw the whole season on Christmas Day. And you know, I kind of have a podcast about it. And she's like, oh my God. But yeah, it's kind of crazy that like this is it. This is what it is for us, you know? Maybe if there is a big time gap, then we'll maybe discuss another show. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. But I'm sure that they're going to feed us a lot.
They're very good about doing that anyway.
Yeah. Coming up soon. And, you know, it's here.
Yeah.
Bridgemas.
I can't wait to like watch it again and again.
So guys, if you guys did not see, there is live tweets. They all called each day a ball. Like you're invited to, today was the Yule.
Wow.
Yule, I don't know. ball. And so each day from today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, they're gonna live watch two episodes, live tweet, give some behind the scenes. The actors, the producers, everybody's on it. 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so it's 8 p.m. East Coast time. I love that Nicola is in Ireland and she was still going, and it was like 2 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I love that so much. Guys, email us, tell us your thoughts. We've been hearing so many messages already. We getting Sarah romantically swept away, which she's like, I'm gonna die, I'm dead. I like, you know, like, have you guys built your coffin yet? And I was like, this is the ghost of Wendy Wu speaking to you, coming back to discuss this with you. And like other people was like, I'm like, holy fucking shit. And then I mean, what are you guys doing? Did you binge the whole thing? I know that Pink Callan Reed said that she's gonna savor it, so she's watching an episode a week or an episode every other week. Girl, that is some restraint.
I cannot, especially when like the next episode pops up right after one episode ends.
Like, I don't have reaction time like that. By the time the episode starts is when I finally got my remote control in hand. So no, it's happening. We're watching the next episode already, and that's what happened yesterday. But let us know. Are you binging? Are you savoring? What are you doing? What do you guys think about it?
What do you want to discuss?
What do you want to tell us? All the Easter eggs that you find. And we're going to do a lot more research into it. And I'm just so beyond elated. And I cried way more than I needed to. Like, I have no makeup on today because my eyes are so freaking swollen. My eyelashes won't even stay on my eyes. My eyelashes are like, those are not eyelids, lady. It's just a bump of a skin. Like,
I know, especially the last two episodes. I just let it go. I'm like, my shirt is soaked.
I cry all the time, period. So just everything. And that whole Violet, when she was like, you are a Bridgerton. I was like, oh my God. I just like, I'm going to cry right now just thinking about it. But yeah, my eyes are so swollen. I have no makeup on because my makeup refuses to go on my face. It was like, bitch, it's just going to get cried off again, you know? So no, we're not doing this today, but we're so excited. How did you feel? What did you guys feel? Email us, message us, reach out to us on Instagram, Bridgerton2000. Congratulations, Nicole, for winning our freaking giveaway. I'm so excited for you to get everything. It was so much fun to hear who everybody wanted to see and what everybody wanted to see. I think collectively as a fandom, every time Poland was near each other, all of us like
gasped,
stopped breathing. We're like, you know, like, so just let us know what you guys think. Instagram, Bridgerton2000. We're also on Twitter and Facebook under Bridgerton2000. Email us, Bridgerton2000@gmail.com. What Easter eggs did you guys see? Someone said they saw Araminta in episode 8. And I was like, my eyes were so blurry because I was crying through the whole entire fucking thing. Uh-huh. I was like, and I think Tessa Dare was like, oh, that last scene with the rain at the ball. It rained so hard, it rained on my face.
She would say something like that. She's hilarious. I love her.
I was like, same. What is this wetness on my face?
You know, whenever I see Simon's face, I just think about Tessa Dare. Because in her Instagram live with Julia Quinn, she just kept saying, like, he's so handsome. Smolder. He's so hot.
Look at that smolder.
So whenever I see him, I just think about Tessa Dare.
Even my best friend's mom was like, damn. Oh my God, can we say that my two honey boo-boos in the show, I saw both their bare asses.
I know.
I'm so happy.
More than once, folks.
So happy.
I'm pretty sure that's not why everyone is watching it anyway, but it helps. And you get tit.
Did you see the tweet where it was like, I'm watching Bridgerton for the plot? And then it was like, the plot. And it was just a bunch of pictures of Simon. I was like, I mean, same, yeah. so good. Oh my god. And like, yeah,
it's great. It's I love it. We're so happy for Julia Quinn.
I'm so happy for Julia Quinn. I'm so happy for the romance genre. I'm so proud of Shonda Rhimes. Like, this just shows you what kind of content we will be receiving from her, that she deserves all the money, even though it looked like she spent hella money.
Yeah. And Chris Van Dusen, who's the showrunner of this.
And the costumes, 75,000 handmade costumes fit to every human's body.
He wanted escapism, he gave it to us.
Yeah, and like those sets built from the ground up. Oh gosh, just everything, 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 everything. And like they said, this is why they're on Netflix, right? Because what budget?
And you can pretty much, I don't want to say get away with anything, but pretty booty, much. Booty, 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 booty. Numerous times.
Everywhere.
In the first 5 minutes.
Oh my god.
And he didn't even do the intro, right?
No.
It was so good.
He's literally humping.
In public.
Yeah, dude, I just think of the chafing like, on her back, right?
I'm like, there's not enough trees or bushes to hide. Like, you just have a footman watching.
And that right there is the definition of a rake. He never even cared. He did it right in front of his footman. He didn't give a shit.
It was the watchdog.
He did not.
But even, his bare even, ass was watching
even the footman was like holding the horse and just like, fuck, why is this my life?
So good.
It was amazing. All right, guys. We love you guys. We made it. I can't believe that we were served this deliciousness. And Tony was right. You do get a little hot under the covers. It was real steamy. So we love you guys. We will be back next week. We'll see you guys. Yes. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye.